Today, we're so lucky to be having a conversation with two remarkable photographers and filmmakers who know so much about the Jews of Africa. So Judith, tell us, what were you doing in Africa?
I'm not a filmmaker, but that's
okay. But you're
okay.
A photographer.
I'm a photographer, but I can't make film.
Okay.
Not even on my iPhone. So I got very close with a gentleman who was at the University of Judaism here becoming a rabbi. And he brought his wife and two children to, I was on a board called Jewish and Community Research. And they asked me to meet Gershom, his name was Gershom, and his wife and two kids, and get them set up at the University of Judaism. So I did. My sister and I met them, which was hilarious because it was Shabbat. And they basically, we took them walking down the Third Street Promenade, and he thought everybody was in costumes. I mean, they were just like, they couldn't believe their eyes. The kids were like, you know, just in awe.
Where was he here from?
Uganda. He was here, so Mbali, Uganda, which is 6 hours drive from Ethiopia. Ethiopia, from Entebbe. Kampala, Entebbe, same thing. I mean, they're close to each other. People more know Entebbe. But a 6 hour drive of, you done it?
No, but I will be doing it for 3 weeks.
Bad roads, bad roads, yeah. Bad roads that they can't fix. Anyway, so we got very close with this family. We got them into school. We got them pediatricians. We did everything for them. And then they went 3 years here to become a rabbi. He did 3 years here, 1 year in Israel, and another year back here. And then he became a rabbi, and we went to his, you know. And then he left. And my sister and I were going, you can't just leave. We're like a part of his family. He's part of our family. So then we started going to Uganda every year to teach women to start small businesses. So that's my story. And so I went for like 18 years until COVID, you know. But everybody started growing up.
So you basically adopted the Jews of Uganda.
Yeah, they're funnily enough two groups, if you know that already. Okay, in that area, they never have really come together.
Two separate groups of Jews?
Yeah, how are they, what makes them different from each other?
I think one's more religious, they think they're more religious, but we had, and I'm not going to say I think this was a fabulous idea, but we had a big temple built, a big shul built, you'll see it. When people are not able to eat, and not even, I kind of thought, oh, what are we building this big temple for? But we do, and they had a beautiful little temple that was good enough. But then a lot of people start coming. Also, they know on Shabbat they get free meals. So a lot of people come. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And Rabbi Gershom now lives in Kampala, but he drives back, especially if he knows you're going to be there. He'll drive back every Friday and then stay for the weekend.
He's now a member of parliament, right?
No, he was. He was a member for parliament, and that's when I went to stump for him and everything, which was fascinating. He was a member of parliament for 2 years, and then they revoted, and he lost. Oh. And he's so upset. I mean, his goal is to be president of Uganda. Having said that, we know who's president and who's been president for 36 years. And he seems like he's just getting worse all the time.
Yeah.
Uganda is one of those countries that I'm not seeing progress. Hmm. You know, unlike Rwanda, unlike Kenya,
I just got back from Kenya. It does.
But Kenya's because they have the tourism. Mm-hmm. They're in better shape.
Yeah.
Way better shape. Don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you've made movie.
And so you're a professor at Penn.
Yes, I'm a professor of cinema and media studies at Penn.
And we met for my 30th Penn College reunion because many of my classmates took your classes and are still involved. And then I found out that you have a film about Africa. So tell us what your film was, the first one.
You generously come back and meet with students and mentor them often, which is great.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. So in 2020, with a colleague at Penn, Susanna Solomon, we made a film about the Jewish community in Gondar, Ethiopia, There's a lot of written and films made about Jews, Ethiopians living in Israel, but it was actually hard to find information about the Jews who were still living in Gondar. What was their life like? And so that's what brought us there, and then over a few years led us to make a film about it. And so the film is really just trying to amplify their stories, and we tell stories about their soccer team, amazing stories, and their circus, which is amazing, about a rabbi who moved to Israel, became a rabbi, and then goes back regularly to still be a rabbi in that community. But as we showed the film, it's actually on Discovery Plus now, if people want to see it.
And what's the name?
It's called Dreaming of Jerusalem. But as we showed the film at festivals and synagogues and places, I was surprised by how little people knew about the story. I thought they knew. And if they know anything, they know about the airlifts in the 80s and 90s, but not that there's thousands of years of history before that, and there's still an active community, and there's a lot happening. And so I went back the last couple of years post-pandemic, and I just completed a book of photography and texts. And in a brief way, it tells the whole history from biblical times till today. Yeah. And then it tells stories about people over the last few years. And it's been a very intense couple of years, the pandemic.
How many Jews are in Ethiopia?
So there's dispute, but around 10,000.
Oh, wait, that's a lot.
And how many Jews went in the airlift from Ethiopia to Israel? Approximately.
Yeah, so about 40, 50,000 then, and probably 50,000 before and after. There are about 100,000 Ethiopian Jews living in Israel who were born in Ethiopia, about another 50,000 who were born in Israel.
Oh, wow. It's a huge community.
I mean, there's a huge difference, but one of the major differences is the Ethiopians' bloodline is Jewish. The Abu Yudaiah, Gershom, and his is not.
In Uganda.
In Uganda. Uh-huh. And therefore, people have said to them, you're not really Jewish. And he's been up against that often. I mean, very frequently. And, you know, he's very carefree and stuff, and he went, I know who I am, you know, that's okay. And I mean, I kept saying to him, doesn't that bother you? And I asked them after they'd been here a long time, he and I went, he was wearing a baseball cap and his yarmulke under the baseball cap, and people know he's from another country, they don't think he's a Black American. But I said to him, do you, and the kids were in school here and everything, and I said, do you see a lot of prejudice here? And he said, no. Do you see a lot for you? And I went, for me? And he said, yeah, being Jewish. So he didn't even, I mean, I was talking about him being Black. He was talking about us being Jewish. And for him, it was like not even, it's like it didn't exist. But in his country, it doesn't, you know? I'm the outsider in his country, or the Mzungu.
Right. Yeah. So the Abu Dayah converted 100 years ago. And people say maybe they're not Jewish. But actually, even though the Ethiopian community has thousands of years of Jewish history, people also say they're not Jewish.
They do?
Yes, of course. Very controversially in the 80s and 90s, Jews who had moved from Ethiopia to Israel had to be converted to their own religion.
And do everything.
Yeah. And there was a lot of racism in Israel.
Yeah, that I knew. Yeah.
But hopefully in the film what you see, it starts out with a Torah service. I mean, 30 seconds in, I hope you think these people are really Jewish.
Right.
They're wearing kippot and praying.
But actually, 60
seconds in, I think they're more Jewish than me. Right. Right. Exactly.
Were you raised Reform?
Conservative.
Conservative. Okay. Well, I was raised Reformed and very Reformed. I mean, my father would say, you don't have to go to synagogue on Yom Kippur, but just don't go shopping. And okay, fine. That was my, you know, we belonged to a synagogue, but we didn't go that much. But they say to me, do you know what this means? And they'll sing a song and they'll go, do you know what this means? Do you know what Purim stands for? Do you know? And I think, you know, shut up. No, I really don't. You're going to tell me. But they observe their kosher. They observe Shabbos. They really do. They're very devout. But they're, you know, they consider themselves Orthodox.
Yeah. The Jews in Gondar left their homes and their farms in villages over the last 20 years and are living in the city. They have very few economic opportunities. They pray every day. They go to classes to learn Hebrew when they're not praying. No. They've given up everything for their religion.
So they can go to a rabbinical school, like the rabbi, has the rabbi...
There is a rabbi from Haifa, Menachem Waldman, who comes, and he's there a part of every month. There are Hazanim, cantors, who are there. The traditional Jewish, rabbi-like figures are called kesim,
okay,
which is also the word for priest in Amharic.
So I have a question. So Judith found this family and became close to them. What inspired you to pick Ethiopia and Ethiopian Jews for your project?
A few different things. One is when I was in college, I went to a program in Israel and worked alongside some Ethiopians who had just recently moved. This is even before, after Operation Moses, before Operation Solomon. And so I've been sort of fascinated by their story in Israel for a long time. And actually, I was working on another project, another film, and learning much more about the history of this of the community, about the community who's there now. And I kept couldn't wait to like make the next film and learn more about the Ethiopians. And I was really happy when that other film imploded, and I could just go and do this.
Did you research other places in Africa where there are Jews?
So that is the next project, and that's why I'm here to see you.
Oh, okay. So that's not just Uganda.
Right. Right. Yeah. So be in South Africa and then Uganda in a few weeks and Zimbabwe.
Okay. Yeah.
So that the next film is multiple locations in Africa or doing separate films?
Books. So as we showed the film and realized that people really were desperate to know more, laws caused me to go back and continue to do interviews and take photographs. And I have a book now that's for photography and history coming out.
When does the book come out?
So my part's done, the text is written, the photos are done, the whole process takes a while, so maybe about a year.
Okay, so... As I know well. But I just wasn't sure. So you made this film that is on Discovery Channel, mm-hmm. and now you're working on multiple books. And so when I found out about it and I introduced you to Judith, that was interesting because you're going where she knows.
Yes.
Okay. So it's so interesting that you both have such a love for the people of Africa and making these projects.
You know, my feeling is it either is in your soul or it's not. And the first time I went to Africa was on safari with all my kids. And I did love it. I loved it. But that's a whole different thing. It was expensive. It was like your own, whatever. Kenya and where did we go?
Tanzania.
Yeah. The next time I went was to go to Uganda, which was a completely different show. I mean, from beginning to end, but I couldn't wait to go back. And each time I went there, I just wanted to go back there so much. And we were so involved. We had taught these women how to make paper beads and then how to make beautiful necklaces. We combined paper beads with metal beads that we traded and they were stunning. And then my sister and I would go sell them here. I mean, yeah, sell them to stores here and then send them the money. My husband kept saying, why don't you just give them the money? Yeah. Anyway, because without us, they really couldn't do it. There is no getting a job. It is very hard there, you know. But I almost became obsessed. And I decided, I looked online and I got this book by some English author. I don't even know the name. And he was saying he started working in Africa and then he didn't go with his wife. And then he tried to explain to his wife how he felt. And as he explained to her, I'm going, well, it's just like me. So I kind of think it either is or it isn't. I mean, that's my feeling.
Yeah. So I'm going to Kenya for many years and I collaborate with a film school there that's in a refugee camp by the South Sudan border. It's a program, the refugee camp's called Kakuma and the film program is called Film Aid Kenya. And I like to bring my students. And we have made many films together over the years. I just got back 2 weeks ago. We were making films about music and politics in the camp. But what connects us is like we're filmmakers, they're film students, I have film students, we're working together on projects. Going to Ethiopia, what connects us is we're Jewish. Right. And, the first time I walked in and they started singing the same prayers that I know with the tunes I know, I cried.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, a friend of mine started, she's passed away racing horses or jumping horses. She started a program in Rwanda and she was very Jewish. She was friends with these guys who wrote this book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was good friends with them. And so everything that she did, what did she say
to repair the world.
Yeah, but there are no Jews in Rwanda. And so she was going to help the children of genocide. She did the most remarkable job of any place I've ever seen. I mean, first of all, Rwanda is an amazing place, but these kids, they have a film school where she is. They have a school. I mean, now there are no more orphans of the genocide. So she's there doing, you know, all the kids who need it and stuff. But it wasn't just going there and having, you know, like a camp. It was, they lived there. They were taught by teachers there. She flew in teachers from Israel and from the States. And they're producing filmmakers, and I should give you their number of them. They're incredible. They're based out of New York, but they're incredible. And Rwanda is an incredible place.
You know? It would be great for people to know about these programs. Maybe they want to support Jews in Uganda, or the film school, or the Kenya Film Aid. Does it have a website, or can people find out more?
Yeah, so you can definitely just Google Film Aid Kenya and find out a lot about them. There are many organizations that support the community in Ethiopia. The SSEJ, the Struggle to Save Ethiopian Jewry, is the organization that helps support the synagogue, the food program, and the health clinic. When I was just there in March, they were about to open a new clinic. They had raised funds the year before, and it will now have 24-hour care for anyone under 18, which is amazing.
Now, we just had a new clinic too, but you will see it. The day after we had the grand opening, it looked like it had been there for 50 years. Mm. I mean, and the architect, whoever he was, you don't build a big atrium in the center when it pours and have the rooms. It was slip and slide and kill you, you know. It's, and we tried to do a birthing center too, and it's all kind of half-assed. We wanted to do a pharmacy. Gershom's daughter went to school to be a pharmacist. Her husband is now here becoming a rabbi with her and their baby. But it's so frustrating because there's a woman from Israel who's really involved, but my good friend who started the Institute for Jewish and Community Research and then went to her other company, which basically is all Jews in the world, Jews around the world. She said, look, it's called the Tobin Center after her husband who passed away a few years ago. But it's a mess. And my sister and I go there and we say, okay, we are going to organize this. We're going to get it right. We're going to straighten out the rooms. We're going to know. It's like you go there the next day and it's like nobody was there, which is really frustrating. Even if you say to them, it will operate so much better this way, you know. But there, the kids, the people, the young adults there, they can go to school, and most of them go to Muslim school because it's better there. I mean, they have a grade school, Hadassah, and then they go to another school. But Muslim school happens to be a better school. They send their kids away to school. If they're living in Bali, they'll send them to Kampala to school. But they graduate with a degree, and there's no jobs. There's nothing, you know. There's nothing they can do. So it's like, do they ask me for money often? Yeah, they do. And I give it. And then I think, but why am I giving it? She's got to find something on her own to do, but I don't know what. They end up having babies. You know, and I'm in love with this family. I'm in love. I just, you know, Gershom just came to town. We spent, you know, a day or two together, and he was going all over. There's a rabbi from here who's with the New Jew. Is that what it's called? It's got a different name now. Who basically sponsored him and got him speaking engagements in all over the country, which we used to do that too.
So if people want to help, what's the best way to help?
I don't know now. I would have to find out, and you should find out too. I think, I really can't tell you, because all of the people that I worked with have all grown up. And when they grow up, they move to Kampala. And Kampala is a big city.
And that's six hours away, you said. Yeah. Okay. And you're going there next for your next project.
Yeah, so I'll be there in a few weeks.
Are you staying with the Avidaya?
I will ask you about that. I wasn't sure if I should stay in the guest house or
in
Bali.
Yeah. Well,
So let's do this. So when you come back from Africa, we'll have to chat again because we'll want a big update. And I just want to say it's so inspiring to people that you've taken so much of your time to help people on another continent, people that maybe get forgotten about.
Well, you know what? I don't know if Peter's gotten this or not. People will say to me, you know, there's poor people here. I have an uncle who passed away, who I'm sure you knew, Haskell Wexler.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. He was my closest relative. You know, he died at 95, like, I don't know how many years ago. But he was my closest relative and my friend. Comes from a different generation. So he would say things like, you know, you got the blacks, they're here. You go to Chicago, go here, go here, go here. And I'm thinking, here's the difference. We have safety nets here. You may think that they're terrible, but they have none. If they don't have money to pay for a health care, they're gone. That's it. They'll die by the street, you know? So it is very different. Because, you know, it was like it made me feel guilty thinking I should be in, you know, South Central.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, what you're saying about Uganda is true in the refugee camp in Kenya, in Ethiopia. It's hard to think about what someone could do to make their situation better.
Yeah.
There are very, very few options.
And because there's places like Jifundishi, well, two places that I'm familiar with that have organized where you can apply to be and, you know, to donate your time, to give to be a volunteer. There's a couple places I know not with the Abu Udaya. I mean, you can say, I'm going to come and I'm going to do this, and they'll arrange things for you. The guest house.
So they're subsistence farmers, though, right?
Yes and no.
Okay, we'll stop.
So we're going to put in the notes how people could maybe find out more and for your film. And Judith is also an incredible photographer, so we'll put a link to your website. And hopefully when Peter's film is done and the book is done, you'll come back and you'll tell everybody more. But thank you for all of the work you do and the change that you make in the world.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.